I had a silly question once about the polygamous lifestyle. They asked me if we all slept in the same bed. That's just ridiculous. That's got to be a big bed.
Well, the reality show My Five Wives was filmed in Utah, not Montana. It might seem familiar to those who have heard about Pinesdale, just 45 minutes from the campus of the University of Montana. Lots of people, it seems, are interested in the kind of polygamy both the show and the town are known for. They're reading Under the Banner of Heaven by Jon Krakauer, or, more likely, watching it as a recent miniseries on Hulu. Sister Wives, Escaping Polygamy, The Book of Mormon, Keep Sweet, Pray, and Obey. There is no shortage of shows, plays, and books that try to explain or expose or make fun of religious practices that allow for multiple spouses. In the Bitterroot Valley between Victor and Hamilton is the town of Pinesdale. Montanans give you a knowing look when you mention it. The town has a population of around 900, but you'll only find a few last names of families living there. It's primarily occupied by members of the Apostolic United Brethren, a break-off Mormon fundamentalist group that practices polygamy, or plural marriage. Some of those names are associated with UM, too. Inga Watt, a 20-year-old freshman chemistry major, grew up in Pinesdale as part of the Jessup family. She said her grandpa, Morris Yates Jessup, had 6 wives and 60 kids.
I don't think my grandpa ever really knew my name. Honestly, like maybe he'd like heard it, but it was never, oh, hi, Inga, when you saw him. It was, hi, sweetie, how you doing? Like, it was never like your name. It's definitely way different grandpa than most people have. It's like you don't have that same relationship because you can't. There's so many of you.
I'm Baylis Flynn, and this is your Kaiman cast for the week of April 22nd, 2024. I reached out to more than 20 people affiliated with Pinesdale. 3 agreed to speak with me. Chris Jessup is a 30-year-old comedian who has a podcast called Polygonometry, where he talks with some of his many relatives. For his stand-up sets, a lot of his material springs from his experience growing up in Pinesdale.
There's like a lot of rumors that people associate with growing up in polygamy, right? You know, like child brides, incest, huge families, right? And I just want to stand before all of you guys today and just put those stupid rumors to rest. They're true. All of them. Yep, all of them. The first one, child brides, right? I don't know if you guys have watched any Netflix documentaries recently, but keep sweet, pray, and obey. Yeah. Yeah, no, Uncle Warren's great at family reunions. It's a little touchy, but.
There's this acronym that's used to describe people who are kind of on the way out. It's called PIMO, P-I-M-O, which stands for physically in, mentally out. And that was something that I started to experience pretty heavily when I was 12 and 13 years old, because I was waiting for the moment, and they talked about it all the time in church and in priesthood meeting, which is like the male version of the religion that you did separately, where they would always talk about like feeling God's spirit, feeling the spirit, and, you know, opening yourself up to that opportunity because it's a good, powerful thing, because it, you know, highlights your relationship with the divine and all this other great stuff. What they were describing was like this, you know, still small voice, this warm and fuzzy feeling. It seemed like everybody else was experiencing it except for me. It really made me feel very insecure when I was younger and how like God felt about me. I was like, am I broken? Like, does God not like me? You know? And like, I mean, I have tattoos now. Maybe, I mean, that's against the Bible. Maybe God doesn't like me. I don't know. I started to realize like, oh, I hate going to church. I really hate it, and I don't want to be there. Like, this isn't a great time. I feel more connected with the divine spirit by going on a hike in the woods with my family and eating KFC out of a bucket next to a waterfall than any other time ever. So why don't we just do that? And what's great too, my parents and my older sister and I, we're all experiencing that at the same time. We didn't know about it like with each other. So we all kind of like realized at the same time, we're like, wait, you don't like going to church? Yeah, I don't like going to church. Yeah, I hate this. You hate this too? Why would I? Dude, let's not go to church. Let's not go to church.
The Latter-day Saint movement that came to be called Mormonism came out of this belief that God revealed himself to Joseph Smith in the 1820s. In the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, 17 million people subscribe to that idea. The Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints disagrees with the LDS succession of prophets. While the FLDS and LDS churches both use the Book of Mormon, some splinter groups in the FLDS church practice polygamy. Many FLDS members believe that plural marriage allows you to get to the highest kingdom in heaven. In 1862, the United States criminalized polygamy. The LDS church later renounced the practice and began excommunicating those still participating. In 1954, the Apostolic United Brethren was founded as a polygamist faction that splintered from the FLDS. Pinesdale was established in 1961 as a haven for the polygamist group. In Pinesdale, former residents said the men legally marry one wife and have just ceremonies with the other wives. 35-year-old Megan Jessup grew up there. She graduated from UM in 2017 with a degree in creative writing and literature. She now lives in Portland and works in publishing.
And I was lucky enough to live in a fairly big house with a forest in my backyard with a creek nearby and a field nearby where we just go play. We'd build forts. My little sister used to go fishing in the creek nearby with buckets and catch just minnows and bring them back just for like pets and stuff growing up. So it was like this sort of charmed childhood where we just had like free reign to, you know, play and let our imaginations just run wild. But at the same time, like I go back and it's just this small little, you know, condensed, everybody's either related or if they're not related, like everybody knows everybody, everybody believes the same way, like there's not a lot of outside influences. And I even felt this way a bit with Missoula when I was at the UM and stuff too. It's just like sometimes it just feels so small. If I felt that way in Missoula, I definitely felt that so much more in Pinesdale, because there's like nothing in Pinesdale. It's like your options are to go elsewhere or you be a stay-at-home mom. You know, like that's kind of the expectation that I was growing up with, was, you know, you get married, you have kids, and you be a good Mormon housewife.
So you can kind of think of it like just rural Montana side of the mountain ranch town. Like I grew up right across the road from a cow pasture, you know, and like my neighbors to, you know, the south were my grandparents. My neighbors to the north were my aunt and uncle, you know, so like I'm related to everybody around. And growing up there, it was super safe. Like we never locked our doors. You know, I could just walk to my friend's house that's like across town, which is only about a mile away. It was a great time. They say that like it takes a village to raise a child. It's great when the village is your family too. But anyway, it was just so much fun to grow up around people that cared about you. And that was a huge perk of growing up in Pinesdale. Like I was surrounded by people who like wanted nothing but the best for me.
On a Sunday morning, a block from UM's campus, I walked into the Institute of Religion, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I spoke to Colson Child, a 26-year-old Elders Quorum president at the ward, which represents young LDS adults in Missoula and Lolo. He said over half of his 30-person congregation are students at UM. The university's admissions office said there have been about 15 new freshmen and transfer students from Pinesdale who have attended the university over the last 3 years, and about 20 high school students take UM classes through the dual enrollment program.
They're very different from what we practice, and they're not members of our church. I've met several people from the FLDS church, and they're not our enemies in any way. I feel like a lot of people feel like we have like tension between us, but I don't feel that's the case. Again, we believe a lot of the same things. We have several members of our ward that have actually, they grew up in Pinesdale and they moved out and then joined our church at that point. Well, they're in this like close-knit community, which can be great in a lot of ways. And they do talk good about a lot of the stuff that happens there, but at the same time, like being that close-knit group, they come to a more worldwide church through the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And they, it's almost like they express a little bit more freedom to pursue religion and to worship God in a little less of a restricted manner. I feel like that's just kind of natural what happens when you have a smaller group like that in a isolated location.
Child maintains that the Mormon offshoots are very distinct. While the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has 1.3 million followers on Instagram, the Apostolic United Brethren has no website or phone number.
So whenever you see groups that are called Mormons, I feel like it's just kind of a blanket term at this point to include everybody. But it's just kind of inaccurate at this point. There's a lot of reasons why President Nelson in recent years has encouraged us to specify the name of the church. That's why I've tried to say the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which is a mouthful, but it's important to identify that these other groups who are Mormons or called Mormons, again, we don't believe the same things. We might believe a lot of the same things, but we're not the same organizations, not the same churches. As far as what's portrayed in the media, I'm seeing a lot more accurate representation of that. People recognizing that we're not all the same church, and what we do and what we believe definitely segregates the different groups. So it's important to make sure that, again, Mormons is just not an accurate term anymore. It's so generic at that point.
In 2014, the Pinesdale community began to fracture over support for Apostolic United Brethren leader Lynn Thompson when he was accused of sexually assaulting his daughter and two nieces and embezzling money. Some AUB families broke away and started a new group called the Second Ward. Others left the church and town entirely. The AUB follow some doctrines and practices changed or abandoned by the LDS Church, like plural marriage. Unlike the breakoff group, the LDS Church has reformed over the years.
But in recent decades, the church has been trying to really showcase how important the women's role in the church really is. A lot of misunderstandings over the years from people thinking about what a woman's role is supposed to be like through her husband. But we also have so many women in the church that are not married. So like, what are they supposed to do? But women have been getting involved so much more in the church than ever before, especially young women. So again, it's been a beautiful thing to watch the women realize that they have more power and more responsibility than they ever realized. And it's been really good.
The AUB owns much of the land in Pinesdale. They allow residents to build or rent for cheap. The men tend to go into trades. They become handymen or carpenters. Families own cabinet and window companies. Pinesdale seems like a lot of small Montana towns. Former residents said it's an easy walk to the post office, school, church, city hall, and the bulk store that is only open 1 hour a week. The kids take dance classes, participate in spelling bees, and play in ping pong tournaments. There are ponds and lots of flowers bloom in the spring. The homes are modern, but not typical. They are several stories tall to fit multiple family units. All three former Pinesdale residents said many of the houses are not sited because a house under construction pays less in taxes.
I was, I was just wrapping up undergrad when I learned how much money my parents were paying on their 8-bedroom, 2-bathroom house. And I was like, are you freaking kidding me? Because I pay more than that in rent for like a 2-bedroom place. Like, are you freaking kidding me? I was so mad. I just kind of told my dad, I'm like, I never want to hear you yell at me about money ever again. When it comes to stuff like this, like, I never want to hear it. You don't understand what it's like to live around the world. That's the way they're able to do that, is just because it's recognized as like church property. So the church owns land. They're able to, you know, get it for less money. They don't have to pay like property taxes on it because the church owns it. And then they just pay the church a fee to rent the property.
Pines Academy is the only school in the town. It goes until sixth grade, and each grade has about 15 students. Chris Jessup said the school teaches preparing yourself for marriage, eternal perspective, and obedience. After Pines Academy, students mostly go to Corvallis and Hamilton High Schools. The transition to public school in seventh grade was difficult for Inga Watt, the UM freshman.
I also got bullied a bit for like my political views because I was more left-leaning than my peers. I was very vocal about like how I thought if guy was doing something stupid, I'd be like, yo, messed up. And a lot of times I noticed that if I said anything, it'd be, doesn't matter, you're a piney, don't care. Just like, except for I was immediately shut down and the excuse was I was a piney because it was an easy point. Where it's definitely something I almost equate to, it's obviously not anywhere near close to being like racism or homophobia, but it's like it's normalized. Like obviously you can't be racist or else you will get in big trouble at school. But it was okay to say, sort of be demeaning and a bigoted towards Pineys, even though like we had no choice and no one batted an eye because it didn't matter. Because it's like, oh, you're from a cult, it's fine. But like, you can be bullied.
Chris Jessup had more of a sense of pride when it came to the Piney nickname. Growing up, he rocked a blue shirt with the words Pineys Rule on it. Chris Jessup and Watt are second cousins. Jessup has 139 first cousins. Watt has 60. She remembers crying with one of them about not wanting to be polygamist and feels like her family name has followed her all the way to UM.
I want to leave, honestly, Montana, because I have met so many people. You meet random people and they've like, they're friends with your cousin. It's like, there is no new. Also, so many people I've just like met randomly have like dated my cousins. People I've been like romantically interested have like dated cousins. It's weird. It's like, how do you know someone I know? Yeah. And there's just so much like overlap everywhere. So it's not really a fresh start. And I know so many people in Missoula and it's just a little bit away from my family, a little bit away from Pinesdale, but it's still close enough.
Megan Jessup feels similarly.
Growing up in Montana, even in Missoula, because Missoula is only like an hour north of Pinesdale, I would get it all the time where if I went into, you know, I went to a bar and showed somebody my ID, they'd be like, oh, are you from Pinesdale? And it'd be like, yep. Or are you related to so-and-so? Yep. Or maybe even like, there were so many times too where they'd be like, oh, are you related to like Kevin Jessup? And I'd be like, I don't know which one. Or I don't know, maybe, probably. I don't know. I haven't met them, but probably. Because like you said, Jessup's such a big name and there's so many of them. And I know for a fact that I have like first cousins that I've never even met and that I don't even know. A silver lining or a benefit when I moved away being like, oh, people aren't gonna be so familiar with it anymore if I like move away from, you know, Montana, from being close to Pinesdale. If they know anything about Pinesdale or if they know anything about Jessup's, it's like, oh, the like, I usually get one of two responses when people hear that I'm from Pinesdale. It's either, oh my gosh, I wanna know everything, tell me everything, or oh my gosh, you poor thing.
I was in a climbing gym in Utah, in Salt Lake City. I was living there for a few years and I'm just at the climbing gym, just bouldering. And this girl walks in and I look at her. I'm like, God, she looks so familiar. God, where do I know? There's nah, whatever. I mean, I'm not really thinking too much about it. It's just acknowledge that she probably looks familiar, whatever. So I'm bouldering a little bit. She boulders a little bit. Whenever we're done doing our thing or taking a rest, trying to figure out the problem, we're both sitting on chairs that are right next to each other. And it just couldn't leave my brain. I'm like, I know who that is. Who is this? Who? And I'm like, okay, I gotta ask. And I just take the breath to turn and she turns as well. And I go, hey, I don't mean to be weird, but, and she goes, are you a Jessup? Like she finished my sentence. Turns out it's my second cousin, Kasia. You see a Jessup, you see a polygamist, there's a look, you know?
Megan Jessup and Inga Watt said there's a culture of absent fathers in Pinesdale. The men can't maintain relationships with their many kids, and especially have trouble connecting with their daughters. Watt said the lack of supervision fosters abuse that gets swept under the rug. The media have been bringing some of that abuse to light.
It's like the way I connect with people sometimes. When I first met like my roommates when I moved in with them, it was like, oh, have you seen like Keep Sweet, Pray and Obey? Yeah, like that's like my family. like that Warren Jeffs is technically my second cousin by marriage. So it's like, It's weird. And of course, like the show's Sister Wives and My Five Wives. With Sister Wives, one of his wives lived in Pinesdale, and my dad like went to school with him growing up. And in My Five Wives, that is just my uncle. so it's just like, it's cool. It's a lot of stuff, but I think it's cool. It's it gives me something to talk about, because I'm not nearly as affected as some of my cousins who have had like just crazy traumatic stuff. So I'm able to sort of be able to be more light about it. Like, there's definitely some stuff in there that I'll be like, oh, I'll start crying. But but normally I love talking about it. It's super interesting. It's like, not many people can say that they're from a cult.
And the more people know about it, the more people get educated. The problem, of course, is because like the media coverage is kind of twinged towards this intensely negative, well, and uncomfortable things that happen, because they're the truth. And that's good to know. Unfortunately, sometimes the truth is uncomfortable, and that's okay. It took me a few days to watch Keep Sweet, Pray, and Obey. I don't know any of the people in the in that documentary on a personal level, but when you see your last name show up on nearly every interview when you're talking about pretty harsh stuff, it's like, whew, you need to take a break. it can be triggering for people, but it's also a sign that even though it's a trigger, all that means is something that you can probably work on and look at and start to cultivate into something that is a little bit more of a healing. It's just a sign that there's a wound that needs to be stitched up.
Watt, Chris Jessup, and Megan Jessup all left the church while they were growing up.
So my family's a little bit different than a lot of families in Pinesdale, because my dad only had one wife. I think the younger families are kind of more that way, if that makes sense. And it kind of set us apart and kind of had a sort of stigma about it, if that makes sense. That he didn't quite follow the religion as closely as he was supposed to, or, you know, all these things. And I think he really kind of internalized that, like thought that like his dad was disappointed in him and things like that, because he didn't practice it.
So it was just kind of like a regular kind of family growing up in a not normal situation, or unconventional, I guess, is probably the best way to describe it. So, yeah, I was kind of the unique one in a way, because I didn't have more than one mom. Like, when I was a kid, people were like, I mean, it was kind of like this, you know, sticking point of tease, you know, where it was like, Chris only has one mom.
Chris Jessup is challenged by his upbringing and said that racist behavior was taught in Pinesdale. The AUB forbids black men from holding the priesthood. U.S. Census Bureau data states a 93% white population in the town.
I said all the slurs. I used them. I did feel that way. That's the way it was. That's the way it was taught. And that's the thing as far as the indoctrination. And this is, goes out for any Mormons out there. You can look it up in your own Book of Mormon. Or if you're in a hotel, just open the drawer and look it up. But 2 Nephi chapter 5, verse 21 is the verse that essentially justifies and explains the curse of black skin that you might have heard reference to in Mormon discussions. And I remember my first time kind of like having a moment where it was like, wait a second, what the heck am I thinking? It was after Star Wars, The Attack of the Clones came out on DVD, and I was over at my friend's house and we were watching it at like a sleepover thing. And Samuel L. Jackson as Mace Windu was in that movie. And he was the coolest guy because he had a purple lightsaber, the purple one, dude. Like in my head at that age, I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. This guy is awesome. Right. And I was gushing over this guy. He's like, that's so cool. You know, and like just watching the movie and being so enthralled. And my friend kind of like looks over at me and he kind of like taps me and he's like, no, man. And he used his, you know, derogatory words to describe how he could never be cool because he's that. And I remember thinking, like, that has nothing to do with it. that has nothing to do with it. And then that was, I mean, thankfully Star Wars helped cure my racism. And then I started to pull at it. And then all of a sudden just, it was gone from there. You know, and you have to have a lot of rebound when you realize how deep the indoctrination regarding those specific things goes. And it takes a while. Your verbiage has to change. You have to rewire your brain, and that takes a while.
Definitely the boys, it was like they were the most racist. They were the most homophobic. And like 2008, 2012, I remember just being like, there was just like so much racism. I had kind of a crush on Obama, honestly. I don't know. He's like, I think, the most attractive president that we've had. So when he got elected, I was like, he's kind of cute. As like a, I don't know, 10-year-old. But so I was just like, I don't know, he's just a guy that's hot. I don't know. And everyone else was like, he's black. He would never be allowed in this town. Like, we hate him. It's like, why do you hate him? No other reason other than he's black. So that was really interesting growing up. But, and of course, lots of homophobia when, of course, like gay marriage got legalized. There was like the waves of hate when things get legalized.
Pinesdale residents wear modern clothes but maintain modesty, not showing much skin. Underneath are their white temple garments, a type of underwear that serves as a symbolic reminder of their covenants, and they are seen as a source of protection from the evils of the world. The Mormon churches have been frequently criticized for their treatment of women and the LGBTQ+ community.
From the religion standpoint, it was this responsibility of holding the priesthood and this, you know, divine kind of, you are the Lord, you're kind of the leader in a way of your family. And it's like your decision. And it's very kind of like very seriously taken. But in practice, that led to this sense of entitlement, which lent to issues regarding the treatment of women, which you see all over the place in polygamist circles. And regardless if it's the FLDS, the AUB, the Second Ward, like there are unhappy women. And the men's roles were kind of taken as like, yeah, women, don't worry about it. We got it because we're men, remember? Because we have the divine priesthood because we're men, remember? That's how it works. And it's like, well, wait a second. Why can't women have the priesthood? Well, because we're men. And it's like not really much past that, which is unfortunate. I don't think it's fundamentalists who are the problem. It's fundamentalism that is the problem. I was doing an interview with my Uncle Brady, who is the star of My Five Wives. And he told that to me. And yeah, so fundamentalists aren't the problem. It's fundamentalism that's the problem. And I think that rings true, because if you take anything to the radical perspective, it's probably not going to be good towards anyone. And the way that it kind of works in the world is that if that is the case, typically the victims are the women. And another thing that is very unfortunate about fundamentalism, at least in fundamentalism in the Mormon sense, there's a huge, huge gap involving sex and how it's talked about, and it develops in this very unhealthy perspective. Consent is this thing that's kind of weird sometimes because of the entitlement that we spoke about earlier, about how like, well, I'm the man, so this is the way it goes. You have to please me, says in the Bible. And sometimes that's, you know, how the men feel. Fortunately, at least the very vast majority of the men that I interacted with when I was growing up in Pinesdale were men who couldn't get enough of their wives, adored their wives, and did whatever they could to make them happy and healthy and well. And marriages are marriages, of course, and they have their own issues. But as far as the culture of that, I don't think that sexual violence and physical violence are encouraged by any means. But I do know that it is not really handled in the most effective of ways in regards to victimhood and blaming those who are the victims of those crimes and instances, and being like, well, this is the way it has to be because God said so.
In Pinesdale, amongst the boys and men, Watt said there is a strong culture of gun ownership. pets and animals were used as target practice and treated as disposable.
The boys in school and like a lot of people were like, I hate cats, I will kill a cat on sight, like hate cats because they're like of the devil was like what they'd say. And so a big thing where it's like casually killing animals, big thing. Dogs, we've had two of our dogs get killed in Pinesdale. One of them was just like right down the field from our house. She went missing, didn't know where she went. She went to chase a deer. We found her like, I don't know, half a year later, and she was like a skeleton with like an arrow through her, like down in the field. And that was obviously like super traumatic. And then we have our other dog. She had puppies, and one of them was older. Her and the puppy like went out to the field, and we don't know what happened, but our dog that lived came back with like 13, I think, shotgun like bullets in her because it like sprays. So we assume the other one died. One of my other friends, yeah, like her dog got killed because he, I don't think even went into the chickens, but was like by them, got like killed by neighbors for the chickens without really a warning. A lot of dogs get killed and cats. People don't care about cats. I remember my mom saying when she was younger, I think she saw some sort of just like dead cat hanging in the woods. Just people just killing cats because they feel like they're lesser animals and just have no remorse or sympathy. And like I remember the boys talking about like how they would kill cats. They'd love to kill cats.
The members I spoke with left the AUB because they had ethical issues with their teachings. Watt said there was a mass exodus from 2010 to 2020. U.S. Census Bureau estimates the population decreased by 130 people in that time frame. Watt said Pinesdale was down to just about half the population being part of the AUB. She thought polygamy was dying out. But in the past few years, after the death of Lynn Thompson, the AUB leader accused of sexual assault, she's not so sure. After 2020, the population in Pinesdale began to rebound. Watt thinks the AUB and polygamy are here to stay.
I don't know if it'll ever go away, because there's just enough indoctrination and enough sort of like brainwashing a little bit, just conditioned to be polygamist.
In other news, a look ahead to this year's fire season and the people fighting them. In sports, Monty and the Grizz Spirit Squad make history competing at nationals. And in arts, a sneak peek into the MCT's Beauty and the Beast. For more information about any of these topics and more, pick up a copy of the Montana Kaiman this Thursday, or head to our website at montanakaiman.com. For the final Kaiman cast of the school year, I'm Bayless Flynn. Thanks for listening.